In this episode of the New Zealand Doctor podcast series, Primary Thinking, Halifax Bay PHO Chief Executive Liz Stockley shares her views on the primary care sector. Ms. Stockley was a former general business consultant before joining the health sector some 3 years ago. First, we asked Ms. Stockley on what changed for the better in primary care in the past several years.
What I see now is a sector that's talking and making attempts at working as a single joined up system. Particularly here in Hawke's Bay, primary care, community organisations, the DHB and the PHO are beginning to share a vision for a flexible approach to the delivery of services and for focusing on what patients want rather than what we want for patients. I joined the PHO environment in 2012. To be honest, I don't think I fully understood the role of a PHO when I joined, and I think it's true of the vast majority of the population. I think that the system is operating well and is engaged with the community, but I think now there is a need for PHOs to be stepping up and demonstrating clearly what their value proposition is to the health community. I don't think PHOs have totally matured yet. I think we're ready for another stage in development to really demonstrate our value proposition, that would be the value of having independent organisations supporting the development of primary and community care. The increasing focus on targets in primary care is not necessarily a good thing, although primary care is more willing to work towards those targets that matter and mean something, such as increased screening rates for earlier identification of disease and early intervention. Those are seen as positive. Recent developments in targets, so the IPIF framework seems to have missed the mark somewhat in increasingly and has led to frustrations in primary care. In terms of specific positive changes in the past decade, I'm sure my colleagues in general practice would say that enrolment and capitation have been largely positive and have resulted in better overall income for primary care. Another positive is the development of the primary care nursing workforce, the expansion of the scope of practice nurses and the recognition of the input they can have into patient care. The development of nursing-led services such as nurse clinics have all been positive. The suggestion that midwives and pharmacists be involved in primary care targets was very positive, and we're moving towards that multidisciplinary team approach, and we need to look at how we engage other professionals in the delivery against targets. I think the fact that that hasn't come off in time for 1 July is a bit of a disappointment. I think the fact that the IPIF framework has remained very much a primary care target framework is a disappointment. Although, you know, it will mature, it will develop further.
What urgently needs to change, and how do you think this can change?
Okay, I'll assume that you've read the PHO Alliance's document, A Time to Act, which encapsulates the key elements of some of the changes that are required to support a more effective sector. None of the themes captured in that document are really rocket science, and it's something of an extension of the original primary care strategy. The prioritisation of funding around those most in need, determined not just by demographics but also by chronic condition burden, I think is required desperately. In a system that's so dependent on patient funding, it's vital that we get smarter about how we target the public funds that are available. Cost is not the only barrier, though, to primary care, and that needs to be addressed. We need a focus on making primary care relevant and accessible as well as affordable. So giving more authority to the patient's own voice would be a positive step. There are some simpler discrete items that I think can be addressed, including communications between primary care and those staff based within DHBs. It's not just about IT systems and shared care records. There is something more fundamental about the need to develop relationships and actually talk to each other, get to know each other and be able to pick up the phone to each other. Crossing this imaginary chasm between primary and secondary care is something that we're working on in Hawke's Bay to achieve greater levels of collaboration and also to help clinicians understand each other and each other's responses better. It's amazing what can change when we enable actual conversations to take place. In Hawke's Bay, we've got some pretty exciting things happening. We've got the integrated family healthcare centre in Wairoa, and we're looking at doing things more flexibly up there and engaging with the community more effectively. We've got, as you'll be aware, Totara Health and Hastings Health Centre have bravely put themselves out there as going to merge to create one of probably New Zealand's biggest general practice, and that gives us an opportunity to support them and work with them on developing the model of care. It's actually better than a blank sheet, because we have the opportunity to see the change management process required to achieve the change that's needed.
What do you think about this government's approach to primary care?
Look, I think the ministry is focusing attention in the right areas with the reviews that are currently underway. The approach to primary care will be evident as the results of these reviews become public. The government has the opportunity, I think, to step up on several things through these reviews and through the review process. For example, the need to review the funding model in primary care to ensure that resources are spent on those most in need. And I think it's vital that that is not seen as an electioneering tool. It's too important to be ignored because of the potential impact on voter behaviour. The healthcare impact needs absolutely to outweigh the political impact of decision making if we're going to get any real change in that space. Government's approach can only be as good and as strong as the sector that's supporting it, really. Once the results of these reviews are released, I think the sector's got a responsibility to step up and make change happen quickly. Being relatively new to the sector, one of the things I'm finding most frustrating is our apparent need to dispute every idea and wrap constraints around innovation to the extent that nothing happens quickly. We need to support innovation and to celebrate those from within our midst who are willing and trying new things. We need to be less competitive and less protective of our own activities. I think the lack of sharing between publicly funded organisations is frankly embarrassing, and I think that the public would be astonished if they knew how little organisations across the country supported each other and how much cross-charging and competition is happening.
For you, what is the biggest misconception about being a PHO chief executive?
Look, it's a really hard job because of the breadth of stakeholders. So I'll talk just from the Hawke's Bay point of view. We exist under government rules to ensure that 153,000 people in Hawke's Bay have access to good quality primary care services. So the government's a massive stakeholder. 153,000 people are significant stakeholders. And yet most of our contractual activity is contracted by the DHB, so we need to ensure that we're aligned with what they're looking for. And yet if we didn't deliver on the expectations of primary care, then we would cease to exist as an organisation because we wouldn't have their specific explicit support. And then you throw in the additional stakeholder groupings of the community, which are arguably our most important stakeholder, and yet they have no contractual or financial levers to pull over us. I think the misconception between what we're actually contracted to deliver and the scope of what we are working on is apparent.
This is Reynold Castañeda for New Zealand Doctor.